Your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed thy report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But unto Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. As an overview of this chapter, one of the things that I hope you noticed as we read through it, is the abundance of quotations or allusions from the Old Testament. Paul is talking about the ancient people, the Jews, and why they seem to be left behind at this point. Yes, I chose those words particularly. Why they seem to be left behind at this point in the economy of God's grace. And notice then that the Jew that listens to Paul's speech in this chapter that is alive during the first century might be apt to object to what Paul is saying about the Jews. And so Paul is very careful to couch his argument in Old Testament allusion and quotation one after another so that they might understand whoever those Jews are that Paul has a heart of compassion for, wanting them to be saved, that he is speaking to them out of their own scriptures, and these are things they ought themselves to have known. This is a marvelous use of the Bible here that Paul makes use or that Paul brings to his argument in order to convince that Jewish gainsayer that might say, we are favored in Abraham, thank you very much. And so let us also take that to heart. I remember there was a sermon I heard a long, 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 long time ago by a man, an acquaintance of mine in Southern California. And it was a sermon that encompassed the passage where Jesus is speaking against the Pharisees that say to him, your master eats with publicans and sinners. And Jesus responds with, it's not the well that need the physician, it's the sick. He responds with a particular and biting sarcasm against the Jews of the first century because they would not hear him. And the use that this preacher made, and I think it's a really good use, is that let us take heed, because people who have been religious for a long period of time run the temptation of falling into self-righteousness. This Jew that this particular antagonist to which Paul is speaking, or of which Paul is speaking here, is going to have inoculated himself already against particular arguments. And yet, notice what Paul does. He marshals the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, especially quoting from the prophets, and most properly from Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, to break down that that temptation towards self-righteousness and self-satisfaction based on being a religious observer. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk through the passage. That's the overview. The specific problem that Paul enumerates, and he puts his finger on here, is that the Jews had rejected the righteousness of God and they had sought to establish their own righteousness through the law. Listen to what he says. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May I say very clearly that that is not just a Jewish problem. That we are all born into this world as little Pharisees, justifying ourselves, not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God, rather intending to build up our own righteousness. And we will hear in the slip of our speeches, even today as redeemed Christians, the remnants of that corruption, won't we? When we say something like, well, I don't deserve this. When we hear, we heard Job in his despair earlier today. There's another portion of scripture that speaks to this kind of attitude where Jonah is sitting on the hill overlooking Nineveh. And he's really angry with God because God has spared Nineveh. And the Lord says to him, dost thou well to be angry? And Jonah says, yes, I have a right to be angry even unto death. Remember that? There are times when we begin to assert our rights. And as soon as those rights come forth from our lips, we have confessed once again that we deserve something other than what we really deserve. Right? And those are the remnants of this seeking to establish our own righteousness. I have behaved in such a way, and so I deserve such and so. Be careful. Be careful asserting that too loudly or too proudly, because you may get what you deserve. Right? Let's think about that. Let's check that kind of speech. Let's put a stop to those kinds of attitudes where we assert our own righteousness and feign ignorance at the righteousness of God. What does God require for entrance into His presence? The righteousness of God. Perfection. How is that righteousness had? How do we gain access to it? By faith alone, not by our own works. The Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. They had moved the standards of communion with God off of their center and had replaced them with some man-made set of statutes. We do that too. Let's be careful. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Notice it is Christ's righteousness. That's tantamount to what Paul says here. That Christ is the end of the law. That is, Christ is the fulfillment of the law for righteousness to everyone who that believeth. It is received by faith. It is not received by your own law keeping. Your own law keeping proves. Listen. Your own law keeping to gain favor with God proves that you are ignorant of the righteousness of God. If you seek to establish your own righteousness, you are ignorant of the righteousness of God. Okay? All right. So then, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, I think that some modern theologians have turned that passage on its head. I think Moses is speaking with incredulity there, and that's why Paul quotes him here. Don't you hear the law, is how he will say it to the Galatians. If you're going to develop favor with God through your own law keeping, then you must live in those laws. You must eat and sleep and drink them. There is never an escape. It is unrelenting. Don't you hear that? The man that doeth those things shall live by them. And now Paul goes into a series of quotations from the Old Testament to prove. First from the Pentateuch and then into Isaiah, to prove that this has always been the case for God's people, that they must never have been ignorant of God's righteousness, and they should never then have established their own or sought to establish their own righteousness. So then, that's why he says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not within thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ up again from the dead. In other words, it is high as heaven, it is low as the earth. You must set forth an incredulous amount of effort in order to draw this righteousness to yourself. Don't say it that way, Paul says. Actually, this word is in thy mouth and in thy heart. It is the word of faith which we preach. And please don't hear word of faith as it's been so perverted today. It is the message of faith. The message, the matter, the paradigm of faith which we preach. And then he gives it to us in all of its blessed and gracious simplicity. Listen to what he says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you hear that? All of its blessed and gracious simplicity. Oh, we love to complicate things. We love to make it more complex than it is. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Notice that is that exchange. Righteousness upon the event of faith. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And I think what Paul is doing is he's putting a part for the whole there. That those who have believed in their heart upon the Lord Jesus, they have received that righteousness which comes by faith alone, which then works it out in the mouth and by way of connection in all the other actions. And that is the way of living that drives us to salvation at the end. Right? It is the way that God has chosen for our salvation, as the larger catechism puts it. We speak and we do those things that are commensurate with that faith which springs from that faith which God has planted in the heart. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then he goes on to say, by the way, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then quoting from Joel, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we must stop. Must pull up our eyes from Romans chapter 10 for a moment. And we must ask ourselves, have we called upon the name of Christ? Is it Him that we're depending upon? I'll tell you kind of a humorous story. I was telling some of the guys during the break, we were talking about motorcycles. Not in a non-Sabbath way, but there was a time when I was back in California, I owned a motorcycle. And I came around a corner in the city in a semi-residential and commercial area. And I came around a corner, and it was just a regular street intersection. And when I came around the corner, I got on the gas a little bit. And there was a guy that maybe 20 yards from me had gotten three steps across the street jaywalking. And he didn't see me coming. And when I went like that with the throttle, he saw me. And it startled him. He got scared. And he knew that if he took more steps out into the street, that there was going to be a collision between him and myself. And he got his feet tangled up and he fell down right in the middle of the street with me bearing down on him. And I will never forget, as long as I live, I will never forget the look on his face as he looked up at me and looked in my eyes. It was that look of complete and utter helplessness. Please don't run me over. It's that kind of helplessness with which we must come to the Lord. Not, I can still get up, give me a second. Right? Not, it's your fault, just slow down. No, it's, please, Lord. It's like that hand that Peter reached out when he said, Lord, save me, when he was being taken under the waves. Helplessness. That's where we are. Have you called upon His name? In that sense. In that way. With that sense of abject helplessness. Because there is no help in man. Okay, so we move on then. And the apostle then plays off of that statement from Joel when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now Paul in verse 14 does something that is, well, over the years as I meditated on it, I found it fascinating. He asks four rhetorical questions and he moves in retrograde movement from the end to the beginning. And each of the answers to the questions, because they are rhetorical, is it's impossible. Okay, listen to his four questions as he moves from the end to the beginning. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, why would you ever call upon him? What's the answer to that question? It's impossible. They will not. Second question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Can't. It's impossible, right? Third question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? What's the answer? It's impossible. And fourth, how shall one preach except he be sent? And again, I believe that the answer is it's impossible. Paul asked those same four questions, or he asked those four questions in that retrograde movement to show what he's going to say in verse 15. And that is, how beautiful are the feet of them, again quoting Isaiah, that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What is the method of salvation that the Lord has chosen? That preachers should be sent, that they should preach, that people should hear, that they should believe, and that they should call upon the name of the Lord. That's the ordinary method that God has put in his church and in the world for men to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now watch. Well, then that's all it takes. Let's just flood the world with preachers, right? That's all it takes. But they have not all obeyed. But for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not everyone that hears believes. We've heard that already, haven't we, in the chapter on election. Then notice what he says. But I say, have they not all heard? Yes, verily their sound went out to all the earth, and their worlds and their words unto the end of the world. Quoting from Psalm 19, right? Quoting that bit of natural revelation by which all men are inexcusable, and yet by which no man will be saved. Natural revelation saves no one. No, faith comes, as he said, by hearing, and hearing by the nature? No, hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. What are we doing here today? Why do we come back Lord's Day by Lord's Day to hear the Word of God? Because that is the way of salvation. It's the way of salvation. All right, so then he goes on in verses 19 through 21 to put any first century Jewish person that would be against what Paul has said on notice. Did not Israel know? And so Paul tells him, what you ought to understand is that this that I'm talking about today was prophesied. Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Again, remember what I said to you last hour? That what we can expect is that it's going to be against expectation, against nature. We would expect that Christ comes and he's welcomed by all the Jews, right? Is that what happened? No, he came into his own received him not. So then, the Apostle Paul is shaking up the Jews in Rome that will hear this letter. He is shaking up their confidence in the flesh. And he speaks, he knows of what he speaks because he himself had that same confidence in the flesh, did he not? All right, well, thus ends the reading then of Romans chapter 10.